You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay.
You okay over there?
Well, I was in the mood to still be singing Queen, so I had to
rein it in,
harness my impulses for a moment, and then that's Got just it. What came out and said was okay.
Yeah, guys, right before the podcast, we Jacqueline and I had the glee of sharing with Claire. She hadn't seen it yet. The horrendous video of Prime Minister of Canada Justin Trudeau singing Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody in London. Just 2 days before Queen Elizabeth's funeral. In bad taste?
No, yeah. I don't think so. I think
it's incredible taste. I would say, but we do not. We support.
Mm-hmm. That's just, it's just funny. I'm sorry.
It is. It's just like, it is funny. It's just like, wait, what? Why? Yeah. What are the circumstances? Did he request this song? It was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody. You are the leader of a nation, and you are doing karaoke the night before the most like famous person in the world's funeral.
With the same right? name as the name of the band.
I think that's a gorgeous coincidence.
You know, honestly, we all grieve differently.
We all
grieve differently.
No one can know how they would react
exactly
until it
right.
happens to them.
You know, I always try to like, because like leaders of other countries, I feel like we kind of don't know how to view them or think about them, but I'm just like, it's the equivalent of, imagine if a video of Joe Biden came out in London 2 nights before standing against a piano at a hotel bar, which is what happened with Trudeau. We'd be like, Joe, what are you doing?
Seriously, it would be wild, but I like it better that it is Justin Trudeau.
The hottie.
Yeah. It's just something great about it, you know? And yeah, leaning against a piano, possibly with like a glass of like brandy, he's swishing around.
Oh, he's like, Sherry, anyone?
Anyone? Cooking wine? Anybody want cooking a glass wine. Of cooking wine?
Love a good cooking wine. Anyway, and his team has responded because people were criticizing, being like, dude, you're in London for the funeral. It's the official mourning period, and you're at a bar in a hotel singing. His team has come out and defended it. I'm trying to see what they said. They said,
and you know what? I would imagine that the Queen would be proud of him.
Okay, a spokesperson for the Prime Minister said, after dinner on Saturday, the Prime Minister joined a small gathering with members of the Canadian delegation who have come together to pay tribute to the life and service of Her Majesty, adding that Trudeau had taken part in various activities to pay tribute to Elizabeth II while in London.
So this was part of planned activities?
I'm wondering. It says the spokesperson said Charles, who was this pianist that was with them, played a number of songs on the piano. Yeah, for some reason, there was an acclaimed Canadian pianist as part of the Canadian delegation.
He was part of the crew?
Yes. The spokesperson.
He had traveling with a pianist to do karaoke.
On it, well, you just never know when the tribute is going to be needed.
And a karaoke, a pianist, by the way, who goes simply by the name Charles. No last name, just Charles.
That's just me. His name is, pardon me, Gregory Charles. This was second reference in the article.
Oh. I went to
Charles, which would honestly also be a tribute to King Charles.
King, yes.
Wow, two first names. That's crazy.
So it says the spokesperson says Charles, a recipient of the Order of Canada, whatever, played a number of songs on the piano, quote, which resulted in some members of the delegation, including the Prime Minister, joining. I love that sentence. It makes it seem as if, and what else did you expect?
He was playing the piano.
He was playing.
They had no choice but to join in.
Charles, when asked about it by the Globe and Mail newspaper, said, "Everyone sang with me for 2 hours. That was the feeling. That was a lot of fun."
Shut up! You're making it worse! 2 hours? We were having fun?
Sir. Anyway, you know, again, we all grieve differently. Justin, exactly. You're hot. You know,
grief makes people do crazy things.
Crazy. And you know what? That makes me think of my favorite song.
"I'm just a poor boy. Nobody loves me."
That song is one of the greatest masterpieces, but also most chaotic, like, what, 8 minutes of songwriting in the world?
I mean, it's psycho, but
it's a psychotic song. It is. I loved, like, Bohemian Rhapsody. Love it. Like, the film that came out, I finally watched it, like, a year after it came out. I was obsessed and only listened to Queen for, like, a month after that. All respect, but that song alone, it's like, and then in the movie, they talked about how it was not well received because everybody was like, "What is this song?" Like, it's iconic now, but if you really just listen to it on a first pass, you're like, "What?
You're like, what is happening?
What have we been through?"
Just the Galileo part alone.
I first learned it from watching Wayne's World as a child. That's where I learned the first hit, and it was just like, and I mean, that's obsessed. I was like, this is an incredible masterpiece that should be honored for generations.
Yeah. Well, oddly enough, my grade school went through a time period where, like, all of the boys in my class were obsessed with that movie. And so they were constantly quoting it and they were always singing that song, like, in every little school dance, that song would play and all the girls would be like, "Oh."
Like, they just discovered it. I love that. It's perfect. You can always count on elementary school kids.
It's a perfect song for kids because it speaks to the chaotic nature of children. Like, because we all know children are little psychopaths.
Yeah.
And so exactly. The song perfectly speaks to their soul. It's like,
Today, this morning, I was listening to a radio show that I like, and they were talking about children walking, like babies, like when they're first walking. And they said it's like watching a drunk person on heroin.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, it's quite a combo, but it is. They'll go forward and backward fast. And like their speed changes without rhyme or reason.
Yeah, no warning. All,
you know,
and a lot of slobber, slinging around.
One of my best friends, her daughter is about to turn one, and she's like trying to pull herself up to stand, and she's starting to like kind of crawl, but not totally. The favorite thing that gets her to crawl is dog food in a dog bowl. So,
all right.
you got to get your grains in. You got to
get those. That's how you get your chicken and rice. You know, you
just, why not? Oh, man.
She's not getting
it to the A block, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Here we are.
Here we are. Chaotic. Not just Bohemian Rhapsody. It's not chaos. It's not just for Justin Trudeau.
No, we're here for you.
That's right.
Anything.
It's Haley, Claire, and Jacqueline, and we are hanging out and we are excited to be back. Our schedule, speaking of chaos, has been a little crazy lately. We've all had crazy schedules and then it's been hard to align them to record new episodes. We are back this week and we are excited and we got a lot of material to talk about.
Yeah, we thought it figured out, so.
Yes. How is everyone? Let's have a little catch up. Claire, what's going on with you? How's life in Texas? Is it 200 degrees?
Well, you know, things had cooled off for a little bit, but we're back up to 100 degrees.
Oh, good.
I know.
Oh, love that.
A real bummer, honestly, because that's when you notice how hot it really is. Like, you get the little, you let your guard down, you're no longer mentally prepared, and then you come into the office on a Tuesday morning like today, sweating from head to toe because You forgot what the heat was like, but things are good. Very busy. Work is incredibly busy. I work for an elected official. We're in the middle of election campaign season. So it's just,
just
a lot going on. And it's been good. I felt very productive at work, which is very gratifying for me. So I enjoy that when I feel like I'm actually getting stuff done.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. But other than that, not a whole lot. My good friend James, who's been discussed on this podcast, he was in town for a wedding. And so I got to have dinner with him one night last week. And so that was a special treat. And for a moment, it felt like I had a social life and like a good friend who lived here. And that was a really special time, only for it to end so quickly. But I did a lot of stuff with my mom this last weekend. We went to a Michael Bublé concert.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
Yeah, she had gotten tickets for Mother's Day, so she and I went. And then on Friday, we went to the Dallas Museum of Art to see their latest exhibit, which was Cartier. It was a Cartier exhibit, the age of what? Oh, Nick Cartier?
Oh no.
I was like, wait, what's the joke? I was like, Saudi Arabia? Is that
I was like, why is she smiling? And I was
like, I'm sorry. What's the joke?
I will let the listeners in on a little
Okay.
So Haley had a bachelorette trip.
Yeah.
To Charleston.
I cannot believe you're gonna tell.
I know. We'll listen. We can tell if
whatever. I was the only single gal on the trip, and I found out how easy it is to get a boy to kiss you, because you literally just have to ask, do you want to kiss? and they will in fact say yes.
Yes.
Kind of like 100% of the time. Anyway, a gentleman by the name of Nick Cartier, a gentleman that I met on the street in Charleston, South Carolina. And there is video of us locking lips only after these two psychos and all the others with us were screaming for us to kiss.
If I remember correctly, I feel like Haley and I were the ones that started screaming, kiss!
Mom mentality is a scary thing.
makes you do crazy things.
Here's the thing, like, the guy had such an iconic name. I don't remember the names of anyone else we met on that trip, but he had such an iconic name. I now only think about him when the name Cartier or word Cartier comes up. I can only think of this man,
Nick Cartier, so for the rest of my life.
I remember we learned his name when we're like, Cartier jewelry.
Asked him, I said, are you related to the Cartier family? And he told me distantly. And I was like, that's close enough.
Yeah, you're like, perfect. Want to kiss? My friends are hollering at me to do so.
Meanwhile, we're in the back. Kiss!
Anyway, Claire, it wasn't my story, so I didn't want to tell you, but it's all I could do was as soon as you said Cartier, I was like, oh, Jesus Christo.
It's okay. It's quite all right. That was not at all relevant for what we saw at the exhibit. We just saw lots of jewels. No kissing.
Okay.
There were some men there, and I did not ask them to kiss, but if I did, they probably would have.
I would just like, all right, down with the kissing.
Yeah. So that's basically it. Not a whole lot going on. Just I snoozed the dating apps, so that's not happening. And
okay,
I haven't made it. Oh, well, I'll talk about that in my self-care a little bit. So that's pretty much it for now. You know, just living life. It's freaking mid to late September, so that's crazy.
I truly cannot wrap my head around it. It's so insane.
What's new with you?
Let's see. So today I'm doing good. I went on vacation a few weeks ago with my family to the beach in South Carolina. We always go to Pawleys Island, South Carolina. If you've never been, highly recommend. It's one of those little barrier islands. So it's like, you know, really close to the coast. It's awesome. Love it. So went there and that was so nice. It was so hard getting, I've always found the week after vacation, you know, some people are like, when you go back to work, some people are like, oh, I'm so relaxed and rejuvenated. Not me. The week after vacation is always hell for me.
Yeah.
Like getting
it
back. It's always tough. Like
I get major vacation hangover.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's that. I'm just like back to having to, it just feels very bleak. And then since I did the show now, this is my sleep schedule was all messed up. And last week was just very difficult. So this week I've been like, all right. Last week and then this past weekend I finally rested from vacation and that work week, so I slept a lot this past weekend, which was good. This week I've been committed to getting back in the swing of things. My news though, today I got LASIK like 5 years ago and everything's been great with it, But they told me I might need like a touch up here or there, or just to still get an annual eye appointment. So I went for my annual eye appointment today. Everything's still great. I'm still technically 20/20, but I have astigmatism. They said my astigmatism. Keep me in your prayers. So they said today I could get, they wrote me a prescription for glasses if I want them again. They're just, it's like the tiniest little baby prescription, but it's just to help me drive at night, which I do now in the morning because I go to work.
Wow.
She was like, you drive a lot at night. She was like, your vision is still 20/20, but your astigmatism can make stuff blurry at night. If you want a little prescription, we'll give it to you. She's like, do you drive at night? And I was like, not really. And then I was like, oh, well, actually, yeah. I was like, if night
some might call it night, but I call it day.
Right. I was like, Haley would call 4 a.m. night. Now I call it morning. So anyway, and it was so funny. I was kind of like, oh, but then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm about to get some cute new glasses. I got LASIK in 2015. And that's one thing I missed after getting LASIK, which was one of the best decisions I've ever made. Highly recommend it if you're considering it. You know, it's just so nice if you're a candidate. But I'm kind of excited. Like, literally, I will only wear them like driving at night. But I was like, ooh, I'm going to get a cute new pair of glasses. So I'm actually kind of excited. So I'm going to get on maybe tonight afterwards and look on like Warby Parker or Zinni, because I'm not falling. I love my eye doctor's office. But gone are the days of like $100 pair of glasses at the eye doctor.
We're smarter than that now.
Yeah, honey, we've moved
especially
on.
Especially if you're only going to wear them like very rarely.
Exactly. I don't need them all day. Like my vision's fine. It's just like at night and stuff. So I'm like, I'm not. So there's too many. My mom swears by Zinni, which is the eye.
Yeah. I've known people who've gotten glasses from there.
Yeah. My mom swears by that.
My last pair of glasses I got before I got LASIK, I had Warby Parker and I loved those, but
yeah, see Warby Parker, I've heard good stuff. So I'm actually, I was kind of annoyed and like, but I got LASIK. I don't need this. And she was like, this is just, she said, no offense. If you hadn't gotten LASIK,
you probably still would have had them. Yeah.
She said, she was like, it's just aging. And I was
like,
I did.
I
punched her in the stomach and I said, how dare you? She did apologize. Yeah, I did.
I said it.
Thank you. I said it to her, and as I walked over her and stepped over her body.
Yeah. Excellent.
No. So then I was like, okay. So it's not that big of a deal, but yeah, now I'm excited to get new glasses. Cause if there's anything I like to do, it's spend money. So I'm gonna get new glasses. Anyways, that's what's going on with me. Jacqueline, what's up with you? How's work? How's life? How's everything?
It's going good. I feel like I am this week. I feel like I am not fully adjusting and I'm just like kind of really getting into a swing of things, getting into a routine of just like when I want to wake up and all that stuff. I know the week before I was just debating whether I wanted to work out before work or after work or whatever, but I don't know. I feel like I've gotten my full schedule down.
Oh, good. So nice to have a routine.
Yeah. So that's been good. And, this past weekend, I just kind of honestly like relaxed and hung out. My boyfriend's family was in town, so I like spent some time with them, but for the most part, it was just like very chill. I don't know. So that was nice. But honestly, there's nothing else really new. I don't know. I've just been like trying to figure out this work situation. Also, I was realizing this, that this is like my first job at least post-college, really, that's not in news or TV entirely. So like, not only am I like just figuring out this new position, but I'm also just trying to learn this industry.
Oh yeah.
So they have like meetings and stuff. And sometimes I'm sitting there and I feel like I'm that gif where like the girl's like doing math in the air. Sometimes I feel like that's me where I'm like, what the hell's going on? And
that's like, this isn't a media. I'm a beginner.
And the other marketing girl, her name's Kelly. She like kind of she works under me, but like, we also like work together. So, but she's the same way where she doesn't really know totally what's going on in the industry. So they like they use all the jargon, all the lingo, and we're both like, what does that mean? And then we're like texting each other on the side, like different like articles that like define like what it means.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love that.
Screenshots of the dictionary, like
yeah, it's like it's literally like what does MLS mean? Like
that's funny.
And then one of you doesn't realize you did a typo and you just typed in MLB and you try to throw out information. You're like, yeah, I know, talking
about the Dodgers.
So. Yeah, you're like, quick little insert here. I'd like to share my thoughts.
Well, I understand on that, Jacqueline. That is my everyday life still. So be prepared to not know the language months down the line. Because
oh yeah, I'm prepared to literally not know what's going on for like a minimum a year.
Someone finally at my job recognized that about
you,
my situation. And they're like, it is kind of crazy that you're expected to know like this institutional knowledge that we all went to school for like years. Mm-hmm. And you just like walked through the door one day and are trying to speak that language. And I was like, correct. It is crazy. Like,
thank you.
Also, you're kind of discrediting the law degree.
Yeah, you're like, who needs this?
Well, today I kind of got in trouble for doing just that. So I'm trying to, because there's a prosecutor in our office. I mean, we were joking, but I was like, oh, I was just frustrated by something that's going on. And I was like, just honestly, let me pick the jury. I will do it. And he was like, oh yeah, because what we do is so unsophisticated. And I was like, okay, everyone just relax for 5 seconds. All I'm saying is, I would prefer this person not to do it because that's messing with my schedule. I'd walk down there and yeah, do it you're in like, 10 minutes.
You're making a joke, Trout. Shut up.
But no, it is a specialized kind of knowledge. But you know what? Us ex-TV folk can hang for a little bit too sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if there's anything TV people know how to do, it's fake that you're an expert on a variety of topics for a short amount of time.
And that's exactly what I do.
Exactly. Y'all are both just playing the long game now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Our first topic today, guys, is the thing we're all talking about and all texting about. And that includes you at home right now. Adam Levine, honey child, what are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Lord have mercy.
So it's funny. Yesterday I went to my workout class and class was over. We were over like in a little cubby area, like getting our shoes on or whatever. And I know a couple girls at this class and I was talking to one of them about something completely different about a person she knows.
Yeah.
And this other girl that I know walks up, she goes, oh my God, are you guys talking about Adam Levine? And we were not, and neither of us had heard anything yet. And we were like, what? And so she filled us in. And then last night when I got home, as soon as I opened TikTok, I was caught up.
Oh yeah.
Adam Levine, you dirty dog. I do always feel like he's given me scumbag vibes.
Yeah. But he's never totally come to light. And honestly, I'm kind of glad it has now.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not totally shocked, but I'm shocked at the messiness of it. At the audacity. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I mean, like, he's not the first major rock star to cheat on their wives. Like, okay. That's like part of the brand. Yeah. It's not okay. But it is what it is. Like, we all accept this fact. But just Okay. So let's catch everybody in case you missed it. Basically, a girl came on TikTok yesterday, an Instagram model, very beautiful girl. She came on Instagram or on TikTok yesterday and posted this video and said, basically, the only reason she was sharing this information is because someone she knows, an acquaintance or friend, was trying to sell it to the tabloids. So she was trying to get ahead of it. she says, and it cracked me up in the video. She says, so basically I was having an affair for over a year with someone who was married to a Victoria's Secret model. So she basically acts like she's not going to say who it is.
Yeah.
Then 2 seconds later, she's like, it's Adam Levine. Like,
wait, what? I know. I was like, okay.
The whole vibe in the video, she's acting like this affair happened 10 years ago.
Well, but then if you
last year.
Yeah. So she basically says, she says, I was dating, I had an affair with this guy for over a year who was married to, or is married to a Victoria's Secret model. Then she like straight up shows screenshots. And then she kind of disses Maroon 5. It's like Maroon 5 is elevator music at this point. But anyway, I'm sure you know who Adam Levine is. And I'm like, oh, what? Anyway, so then she says, Adam Levine. share screenshots of these pretty flirtatious messages on Instagram. And it looked to be like the maybe initial start of this conversation, because he's telling her how hot she is and she's saying the same, and it's so cringeworthy anyway. Yeah, it's just so like,
you know, I'm like, okay, whoa. Great.
And then she says she ended things because she, what she's saying is she says she was manipulated and that he took advantage of her, and that he had told her he and Bahati were either separated or getting divorced, but they hadn't made it official yet because of publicity. Well, then I guess she's saying when she found this out, she ended things with him. Well, then, so that already is messy and like, oh gosh. Well, yeah. Then, oh, it gets crazy. She says, well, things were done, but then he slid back into my DMs and shares a screenshot of a message he sent her on Instagram from June 1st of this year. And he says, hey, I'm about to have another baby. If it's a boy, I want to name it Sumner, which is this girl's name, and says, which is now how I will end every text from now on. It said, are you cool with that? All caps, dead serious. Like, sir.
Sir.
You're a rock star, but you're a nerd. Like, what a nerd you are. Gross.
Such a nerd. Also, like, no.
No.
So, guys, you know what? I have something to say about you.
He's been having an affair. Green. Wait, say it again. Sorry.
I bet Adam Levine's texts, they're green.
Oh, for sure.
He's such a green texter. He gives off that vibe.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing for you to say, Jacqueline.
I know. My boyfriend is a green texter, and he's weird.
And he is suspect, okay? He is so.
All right. Red flags up.
Red flags up. But yeah, so basically Adam Levine is being accused by this girl of having an over a year long affair, and then accused of wanting to name his wife Bahati Prinsloo's baby, as she is currently pregnant, everyone. She is currently pregnant and just announced a few weeks ago that they're about to have their third baby. That if it's a boy, he wants to name his new child with his wife after his mistress.
Like, what in the world?
How much attention do you need, Adam?
And why? Okay. Honestly, I mean, there's so many layers of wrong, stupid, dumb, no. But like, why did you put it in writing?
Yeah, what an idiot.
Why did you put that in writing? I mean, it's one thing to have like flirtatious texts, but that? Just think. I learned that in middle school. My English teacher told me, if you don't want anyone to see it, don't put it in writing. Doesn't matter how many pieces you tear it into or how many times you delete the message, it will be found.
Also, why is he and so many other celebrities have done this? Why are they DMing on fucking Instagram? I mean,
I don't understand.
Like, it's so directly.
I wonder if they think it's like safer than giving someone your phone number.
Yeah.
And you can blame it on it being a fan. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like every time I see the Instagram, I'm like, ugh, why? It's just so much harder to dispel, I feel like.
Yeah, it's just in bad form. It's just bad all around. But yeah, it would be bad anyway that someone is accusing him. But when the tide turned was the screenshots and the baby name, where it was like,
gross. I'm like, I'm not even mad at him. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, what? I know. I'm just like, sick. Like, you're just, what a nerd.
You're just a loser.
Yeah, you're just a loser. And poor Bahati, like, she is full pregnant. Okay, so then right before we started recording, so Jacqueline, you said Adam had he and his team or whatever have released a statement now finally in response.
Yes. Okay, so I'm trying to find,
because that was the big thing like today, because this came out yesterday afternoon, and it's been swirling online since then. And everybody today was like, when is he going to say something, or Bahati or whatever?
Yes. Okay. So apparently he posted a statement on Instagram, and it says,
Oh, really? He loves Instagram. Perfect.
Loves it. So he says, I used poor judgment in speaking with anyone other than my wife in any kind of flirtatious manner. I did not have an affair. Nevertheless, I crossed the line during a regrettable period of my life. And then he added, in certain instances, it became inappropriate and he has addressed that with his family and has taken proactive steps to remedy this with my family, is what he says. Then he says, my wife and my family is all I care about in this world, and that he is going to get through it with her.
Ooh, yeah.
Is he, how does she feel? Is she going to get through it with
that's him? That's who I'm going to hear. I'm like, Bahati, honey, like, poor thing. Like, that's who. So a lot of commenters, because I guess Sumner, the girl, the Instagram model that posted this, who's claiming the affair, she posted a follow up video and said that in no way does she feel like she's a victim. Like, she, yes, feels manipulated and says that he said he was separated or getting divorced or whatever. But she is like, I'm not a victim. Because people are like, please don't try to make us feel sorry for you. A lot of the commenters, like, you participated in this affair. And she's like, yes, I did. It was bad judgment. But she said, and like, said in her thing, like, I, you know, I'm sorry to Bahati and the children. And that's who I just, like, imagine their day today. Imagine Bahati's day yesterday and today finding this information.
Like, did she know about that?
Yeah. Did she know about this? Did he try to give her a heads up? What was the conversation?
Okay, wait. So also, so I was reading that statement from an article from Page Six. And the rest of the article says, although Sumner said she hasn't spoken to Levine in quote unquote months, he allegedly reached out to her in June. That's when he sent the message. And then it says that this isn't the only woman that has come forward with receipts.
Mm.
And then
I doubt it.
Model Allison Rosef and comedian Marika made their own TikTok videos on Tuesday and alleged screenshots from their conversations with Levine. In a now deleted video, Rosef showed one of the messages Levine allegedly sent her that read, quote, I shouldn't be talking to you. You know that, right? And then did like a weird, that emoji that's making that weird face that blows smoke out of the mouth. Rosef claimed to have, quote unquote, a lot more messages from the Grammy winning singer, but didn't feel comfortable posting everything due to their inappropriate context. Before getting involved with the singer, Marika, I think that's, her name is spelled so weird, so I don't know if I'm saying that right. So I apologize if I'm not.
It's no Sumner.
Yeah.
It's not Sumner. It's her, name your baby after. You know,
yeah, you know, it's just not good enough. But apparently that comedian allegedly posted or allegedly asked Levine about his marriage to Prinsloo.
Yeah.
After he sent a flirty message and she said, dude, aren't you married? And then he said, yes, but it's a bit complicated. Stuff gets hard and the vid thing didn't help. I might get away.
Yeah, I bet it's complicated because you're constantly cheating on her and she feels psychotic because she knows it.
And then the most interesting thing is that in the beginning of this article, they reference an interview that Adam Levine did with Cosmopolitan in 2009. And they say that he admitted to cheating on her in 2009.
What?
He says instinctively, monogamy is not in our genetic makeup. People cheat. I have cheated. And you know what? There's nothing worse than the feeling of doing it.
Apparently not.
And that was in a Cosmopolitan interview in 2009. And that's an article by Page Six.
I'm just going to say it. I've never felt okay with the the momification of Adam Levine. Like, moms everywhere love Adam Levine because he's on The Voice and everyone's like, oh, he's hot. He got voted the sexiest man alive. He's not that attractive. I don't think the music is good. He's not funny. And now we find out he's a scumbag. Like, enough. We don't need him. He's gross. His little body. No, I don't like it.
And his whole bit on The Voice is like, it's like doing a trope with Blake Shelton. It's like, okay, well, Blake Shelton's better than you. So like, bye.
Yeah, Blake Shelton's fine. Go do your proactive commercials and cheat on your wife because that's apparently what you're good at.
I forgot about the proactive commercials.
Yes, another scam.
Another scam. Anyway, let us know y'all's thoughts. Put out some baby names. Just let us know what y'all think.
What's your favorite baby name? What's the craziest way you came up with your baby's name?
Have you ever named a baby? I will name a baby Sumner, just in honor of this. Who knows?
I showed because of course I was talking about it to anyone who would listen today at work. And of course, one of my employees, Bridget, she came in immediately and was like, did you hear about Adam Levine? And I was like, hell yes. And we did a deep dive. Then one of the reporters this morning, Annie, she overheard me talking about it. And she was like, yes. So then I have to tell all the boys in the office. Well, one of our employees, Seth, he didn't know who Bahati Prinsloo was. So I show him the picture and he just goes, oh my, what?
Yeah.
Bahati. He goes, I'm about to slide into her DMs with just some horrible puns and just be like, hey, Bahati with the body. And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And no one's ever said it.
She'll cling to you because she'll be like, you know what? Adam, don't respect me. I'm going to date Seth, a 26-year-old man from Kentucky.
It just goes to show it does not matter what you look like. Man, a scumbag's going to be a scumbag.
Yes. Oh. The scumbag scum.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Wowzers. All right. The other big news, oh my gosh, True Crime Podcasters Unite, Adnan Syed released from prison.
And it is crazy.
I listened to the new episode on my commute home from work today.
I don't care. Obviously, I already know what happened, but so go ahead and like, because I have it on my queue to listen to. I just didn't have time to listen to it tonight. Okay. So it's short, right?
Yeah, it's like 17 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. But still.
So if anybody out there, which millions of us did, listen to the very first season of Serial, which was like the gateway podcast for so many of us. It was about
crime.
It was like the investigation into basically like the conviction of Adnan Syed. He was convicted of murdering his previous girlfriend, Haman Lee, and this is up near Baltimore or in Baltimore. And like through the podcast, like if you've never listened, which I met someone the other day who had never listened, I suggested it and she started listening to it like probably 2 weeks ago now. And so I thought of her today. I'm like, oh my gosh, what an amazing time for her. I know.
Yeah,
and
that would be thrilling.
Yes. And so throughout the podcast, you just really start to see that this and like, my takeaway always had been, I don't know for sure if I can say he did it or not, but he definitely shouldn't have been convicted. Like the case was bad and the evidence was shaky. He was not represented well. Like it was just, there was a lot of holes you could poke. And that's basically what happened. So this prosecutor's office in Baltimore or whatever, they do like city prosecutors there. So like essentially like their Commonwealth's attorney or their district attorney. They have a division in their office that is like a conviction review team. So like they go through and look at convictions that maybe meet the standard of like need to be evaluated or they're just not totally sure. Like, let's just make sure this case was, I don't think she didn't go into it. I don't think they review every case they prosecute, but anyway, this case came through that. And basically that person in the office found out that there were two other very credible suspects that were never presented to the defense. And so that's something called a Brady violation where the prosecution knew about these people. They had conversations with them. The police knew about them. And they had motive to kill Haman Lee and they had like a criminal history. It was like, these people definitely look more like the type of suspect to do this type of crime than this 17-year-old boy who they basically like, it seems like created all it's like they had confirmation bias with Adnan Syed instead of looking at other possibilities. And so basically the prosecutor's office was like, this is a bad case. Yeah. The prosecutors were bad. They broke some rules. It looks like, and there's like several different issues. So basically they filed a motion for vacation of the
conviction.
Yeah. And the judge granted it. And so he's out, he's on house arrest, but he's out and it's very unlikely they will prosecute his case again. So,
okay, cause that's my question. Cause what I had read today said, what is it? They have 30 days to decide if they're going to retry him or bring the case. Okay. So they're saying
it's pretty unlikely that just because like there's so much more. And obviously, I mean, if they come up with new evidence and they continue to, I mean, if like new evidence is introduced that like, I think absolutely confirms that he did this, they can try him again regardless. I'm pretty sure that's because that's not double jeopardy. You have to get new evidence. I think that's but apparently these two suspects, I believe, are still alive and they will be interviewed. I was raging to get him to record this podcast. I don't know. Sarah Koenig, the podcast host, was in the courtroom when he got released. And so she did this podcast, but she did not name the people. And I don't know. She just summarized what happened. So I don't know if those people's names were actually named in what they read in court or what, but I don't know. He's out.
Just crazy. And has been in prison since the crime was in 1999. Correct me if I'm wrong. The trial was the next year. He's been in prison since 2000. That's 22 years.
He was 17 when this all happened.
I mean, and
so yeah, his life is, and he didn't say anything when he got released from court. Obviously there were tons of media there and he didn't speak. But yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I don't think it would have happened without this podcast.
No, I don't think so at all. And it makes you wonder you wonder how many other cases there are out there like this.
Well, and Sarah Koenig said, I mean, like talking about the case, but then she said, what this really is just an example of all of the things that are wrong with our criminal justice system in America. You know, like police can use shoddy interview tactics. The prosecution cannot turn over information to the defense. Now, I mean, like it's a violation. You're not supposed to do that, but it happens. And so, I mean, humans are going to be humans about things, but, and then, just all the ways things can and do go wrong happen to him. He just has like the most perfect case of unfairness if he did not commit this crime. And then they do talk to Haman Lee's brother was interviewed, and you have to feel for them because as Sarah Koenig said, this his sister's case has now been unsolved essentially.
Yeah. So you do have to feel for the family. Cause for them, it's like, whether or not they fully believe he did it, now no one is behind bars for it. So they're back to square one. A woman was murdered.
And apparently he told the court or the judge that like he believes in the justice system and he told the judge to do what's right. And so then the judge said, in the interest of justice, I have to vacate this sentence.
Crazy.
So, I know, it is crazy.
And yeah.
She mentioned they recorded that podcast in 2014. Like, doesn't it seem like it was not that long ago? 2014?
Like, that is crazy. And he didn't think by then, I mean, there was such an uproar, but it still took another 8 years before this happened.
Well, and she said that too. She goes, that also shows how incredibly hard it is to get your case back in front of a judge after you've been convicted, regardless of anything. It's like, look at what it took. Like literally millions of people.
I read today, it said something like Serial in its initial listen had like something like 360 million downloads.
I believe it. It was
like, it truly was like the gateway to podcasts in general, but certainly true crime podcasts.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely like the crime podcasts and stuff. Yes. And I thought that was like one of like the very first, podcasts that people were like consistently listening to and really talking about.
It was the first one I listened to.
Yeah. I listened to it. Actually, I don't think I listened to it till like 2016. Cause Claire was the first person who ever got me on podcasts. And I think that was around 20. I don't remember.
I met you in 2015.
Yeah. So I want to say it was around that time. So I didn't listen to Serial when it first came out, but I listened to it as I've discovered it. And it was just, it was just so well done. And then, now looking back, it truly is crazy. It was 2014, but thank God for that, for his sake and Haman Lee's sake. If he didn't do it, finding the person and really bringing them to justice. If he did do it, hopefully, this leads to, not only could put him behind bars if he did do it, but also corrects issues that keeps innocent people out of prison in our justice system. One more step forward towards that, but also just for opening that genre of true crime podcasts, long form podcasts about cases that deserve attention, or just not even cases, like this, just crazy true crime stories, because where would we be without it? What would I do on my walks?
What
would I do?
It also shows the importance of, and this is where I will talk a little bit about my office where I work, but the importance of these units within prosecutors' offices that review these cases. Like my office has a conviction integrity unit that goes through and does the exact same thing. And it's incumbent upon the state and or the prosecutorial body that has all this power to make sure they're getting it right. And then to come forward and say, we don't think it's right if they did it, or at least to be absolutely sure, because you're taking someone's liberties away. And
yeah,
that's a lot of power. And so I just think it's admirable of them to do that. And I hope it's happening in more cases than just his in that jurisdiction, because like we said, that got so much attention and it's just now getting action, but there are certainly a lot of people sitting in prison who don't need to be. There are certainly a lot of people who are sitting in prison who do need to be. But it's just, I hope we're getting it as right as often as we possibly can. So.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's the thing, because this is scary. Like, if you really stop and think about it, guys, if he didn't do it, this is scary. Like, this should scare you.
That he was in jail that way. It's crazy.
That he's wrongfully convicted, and then that there is a killer among us, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is scary. Yeah, it's just, so we'll see. I hope, you know. Yeah, it's just interesting. Wowzers. Yes. All right, what's next, gals?
Let's see.
Well, something that I have seen on the internet, people just chit-chatting about is that allegedly
something I've seen people talking about on the internet.
On the internet.
It's kind of all over the place. Like, I couldn't really pinpoint exactly where I first saw it. I think like one of the podcasts I listened to had talked about it, but it's like a sports podcast. So
I don't really know. It's been everywhere now. I don't know where it could.
Yeah. Like, so anyways, so there's been some talk around Tom Brady and, his wife, Giselle, Buchan. Well, so initially people have been talking about Tom Brady because he did not, he did not play in the preseason.
Yeah. He skipped training camp. A lot of people think it's because he's on The Masked Singer.
Okay. I saw that. And I'm like, so what?
So there's that. There's
I hope. That. I hope.
I know.
That better be.
It's kind of lit. But so people are alleging that, but then people also think, so he looks different in the face. So then people are like, okay, so he was getting plastic surgery, but then, and then the mass singer thing came up. So now everyone's like, well, which one is it? And then, so everyone was kind of, you know, talking about that, talking about how, like how different he looks, whatever, weighing in. And now, you know, since he obviously retired and has come back, and you know, there was, but when he retired, he basically was like, I'm going to spend more time with my family, blah, blah, blah. And then when he came back and joined the Bucks, Giselle was, you know, allegedly not thrilled. So now there's rumors going around saying that, the two of them are on very thin ice because he is still playing in the NFL and he was supposed to be retired and just all doesn't like that. And they're supposedly living apart, and it's kind of, I don't know. There's just like all these rumors swirling around. And then, I think it was this past weekend or maybe last weekend that Giselle made a post and was like, made it like a post on social media and was like, oh, like good luck.
Yeah, she did cheer him on in his recent game. And then she did that interview with Elle Magazine like last week and kind of really talked about this, because she kind of, I was shocked at kind of some of the clarity, because she said, yeah, everybody was wondering because he missed training camp for like 11 days, then came into that weird press conference and everybody was like, where were you? And he was like, I'm 45 years old. There's a lot of shit going on. And it was like, okay.
And it's like,
sorry for asking, Thomas.
I'm going to start doing cocking that attitude at work. I've got a lot going on. So back off.
Got a lot going on.
And I think that almost made people more curious, because every time someone asked him why he missed the preseason or what the hell's going on, like he always was kind of like well, you know, like, why are you asking me? And it's like, well, we want to know.
Then there had been the drama about him retiring and unretiring in the family. And then, yeah, her in the interview, she was saying, like, she was said, like, you know, I want him to follow his passion. I support him, what brings him joy. But, like, I step back from my career to raise our family and stuff. And she said, I wish he was more present. I wish he was. So I think she feels kind of conflicted, at least according to the interview, like, wants to support her husband, but is also like.
Well, I saw, like, I think it was someone, like, cause, you know, there's been lots of tweets and funny, like, memes about this, but someone being like, she married him thinking he'd be playing probably for like 10 more years, or I don't know, like, not much longer. And now here he is, like, literally defying the odds of the human body and, like, doing things that it's just like, well, how much longer do you need to play, sir? And like, at some point, because we have seen the things that have come out about these football players' brain injuries and things it does to them just in all sorts of ways, both physically and mentally. And you've got these young children and you've got this family, you've accomplished it all. Like, what more do you need? You're the greatest of all time. Like, truly, like, what is it? What is it that you're still chasing?
And you won the Super Bowl, like, last year, the year before. Like, that was the perfect time to be like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Perfect. Like, now you're probably going to go out not on as high a level.
It is selfish. And,
like, when he went to the Bucs and then won that Super Bowl, it's like, you proved to the world that it wasn't just Belichick that was, you know, behind you, that you could win the Super Bowl just you without, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me, but
then I think, I'm like, it would be hard to, like,
kind of understand it because I imagine he was playing that, you know, I mean, he's obviously has been playing it his entire life. And, like, I don't know.
But at some point, you gotta stop. You have to stop at some point.
It is going to be a big life change for him. And I'm sure it was very difficult when he said he retired and then just goes home and is like, I mean, it's not like he just left football and goes home and sits all the time. Like, he owns a bunch of other businesses and all that stuff. And I'm sure he's very busy still, but. And of course, people saying, of course, he'll be one of the highest paid analysts on some NFL, you know, programming, of course. But so it's not like he'll just be sitting at home. But yeah, talk about that's having the football regimented lifestyle, and for him on, like, crack cocaine, the level of regiment. And then to just have to, like, give that up. Like, I'm sure that was hard. But yeah, you're right. It's like, at some point, it's like,
sir,
you got to adjust. We all have to adjust at some point.
Yeah, he does look like he's had that buccal fat removal, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
Like, the, yeah.
Like, the, sir, like, your cheeks or something.
It's like a touch of that and, like, a little Kybella, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't need it before, but it's it. Like, can you get Kybella?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're showing us a photo of him from a press conference this week. The sunken inness. I'm like,
I think the
it looks like one of those weird skeletons that people hang outside their homes for Halloween.
Yeah, the tweet with that says, "I think Tom Brady might be dying before our eyes."
Oh, that's really funny. I mean, I hope he's not, but you know,
this guy says, "I'm just reading tweets now." Tony Stark quit being Iron Man in like 4 separate movies, and every summer he was right back until it killed him. That lady got to realize Tom Brady dying on that field.
That's the thing. He's just going to be like, they'll have to kill me. If what is the TikTok audio and from Ozark, if you want to stop me, you're going to have to fucking kill me. That's
This is a topical tweet. Adam Levine married to a supermodel and cheating with an IG model. Tom Brady choosing football over retiring with his family. Where do men get the audacity when they've been so blessed?
So true. So true. You know what? I need a podcast that's Bahati and Giselle.
Oh,
Bahati and Bunchen. That's the name of the podcast. Oh. I've already written it for you. Okay.
And they will just spill.
I mean, it just goes to show that at all levels, all men have is audacity. That's all they have.
Yeah.
That's all they have.
Speaking of men that have audacity, we got to talk about the Real Housewives drama that's just come out that everyone, I've seen a lot of funny tweets about, is, and I never know how to say their last name. Shannon, is it Bador?
Bador.
Okay, Bajor, her ex-husband, the one that was heavily chronicled on the show, he's now getting divorced again.
Yeah, so he was was married to this woman named Leslie, and who was like significantly younger than him, and like, I don't know, it was just like a really sus thing overall. And they were only married, they were married for like just shy of 2 years. Okay. And apparently, according to TMZ, the reason for the divorce is irreconcilable differences, and he David Bedore lists the date of separation as September 15th.
Oh God, and I thought you were going to say September 11th.
And that is, I know,
right? I'm not prepared. Too soon.
And that is the same day filed, which is interesting.
Okay. He lists the date of separation the same day he filed. So wow, shit hit the fan that day. He's like, that is it.
Yes. Oh my God, I totally forgot about this. This is wild. They have a 19-month-old daughter.
Oh no.
Named Sumner?
Oh.
Anna Love.
Also too soon.
Anna Love.
Named what? Anna
Love.
Anna Love.
Oh, God. Oh,
yes.
I mean, sure. Beautiful. All God's children. Wow. You hate that. You know, I didn't realize
you do. You do. You hate it.
You hate that. You hate that name. And
you don't hate it. But just get that out there. So,
you know, if y'all still haven't listened to that Root of Evil podcast, if you want to laugh over some names.
The names are out of control. Yeah. And you're right. I actually, just jumping back on that for a second, there was a point where I was like, this is simply too much. I've got to move on and do something different right now.
Yes.
Can't listen to this. Yeah.
It was heavy, heavy. So have you both listened to it?
I haven't finished it. I've listened to most of it.
Yeah.
I've listened to like three episodes, but it's
good. And once you make it through the whole thing, you're like, okay, this is very satisfying, but there are three brothers in it, everyone. And if this doesn't make you listen to it, I don't know what will. Their names are Peace, Love, and Joy.
When they first start talking, well, you know what? The way I downloaded that podcast, for some reason, and I don't know why this would have happened. Because honestly, they changed the podcast app on iTunes like a couple years ago, and I feel like it's never been the same since. Like, I just had a system, and it's just a mess. But so I downloaded that podcast, and it played the very last episode first, and that's the episode where like it's all the siblings together talking.
Yeah, they're all chatting.
And so I had no context for like their names or anything. And I was like, what in the hell is going on?
How are you together?
Yeah, the names are truly psychotic. Even after, like, I never got used to them. Yeah, so still highly recommended, everyone. It's a toughie to listen to, as Claire said, and that was kind of my warning. It's tough to listen to, but yeah, the name, not a Peace, Love, and Joy were the tip of the iceberg when it came to weird names on the show.
Keeps like, going.
What?
They're honestly the most normal, I would say.
And then people with the same name. Anyway, Root of Evil podcast, well produced, but yeah, viewer warning in a way. Anyway, okay, so what's his name? Bedore is getting divorced.
Yes, I don't know. I don't.
Also, really, a career scumbag.
Yeah, he's just kind of like he was a scumbag on the show to Shannon, and like, I think Shannon kind of has lunatic tendencies.
Sure.
And I think those tendencies were just escalated while she was in her marriage to David. So they were just not a great pair. Claire said, he's just like kind of a career scumbag. So this isn't totally surprising. It's just very entertaining. And also, it should be noted that they're currently taping Real Housewives of Orange County that Shannon is still on, and Tamra is back on it this season. So I cannot wait to hear what those two nut jobs have to say. Like, I'm very excited. I'm excited that this news broke while they're still filming so we can, like, watch her reaction, because I'm sure it's going to be, like, they're going to, like, kind of giggle about it. Like, they've got...
Oh, you know, she's going to be like, oh, I hate to hear this.
Yeah, right?
And, of course, they're filming. I'm not surprised.
Right?
The whole thing, honestly, like, get Andy Cohen on the case for anything. I mean... The only person who's better at dropping Easter eggs and always happens to be filming and recording at the same time is Taylor Swift. If Taylor Swift and Andy Cohen were the president and vice presidential candidates, guys, they're the best hope we have.
They honestly are. They're the most, they're always thinking. They're always scheming. They're always doing something.
And I'm like, how long?
They're always like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Always.
Ugh. Okay.
And then Trudeau, obviously, we laughed about Trudeau off the top, which, yeah, oh, honey, give it up for Bohemian Rhapsody. But yeah, this week, obviously, you know, we felt that we needed to mention it, you know, is obviously all the funeral services for Queen Elizabeth. You know, did you guys watch, or have you guys been watching a ton of it? I have.
Yeah, I've definitely been keeping up with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot believe the amount of time people have waited in line to see her casket.
No.
Did you see David Beckham?
Yes, was in line. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just what a wonderful woman. We felt that we needed to mention it, but yeah, just what a wonderful woman. 70 years. Like, it's just crazy to wrap your head around. And then just to see the tributes and the loveliness in which the family has come together, and we all know all the drama within that family. And then just the country and everything, just such a wonderful goodbye. And it's just nice for me, at least, just reading and learning about her life. Cause I feel like there's been so many articles posted. It's like, oh my gosh, she did that. And putting it in perspective, how long 70 years is.
That I know through so much.
Through so much. What I think I read an article the other day that said, like, what she met like 13 or 14 US presidents. That's how many she saw during her reign.
That's crazy.
Come and go, darling. Come and go. I'll still
think about how many wars she's.
Yeah.
Reigned in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just crazy. So, and then, you know, the drama, which is on brand with this podcast, I feel like we've all been looking forward to or wanting to discuss and stuff, but I think it was nice. None of the attention was on that, at least in major outlets that I saw, was any of the Harry, Meghan, Will, Kate drama. I feel like the only thing I saw was people saying, like, how nice it is that they're all together, how nice it is that they're all with the family and that everyone is together. But I just, of course, fly on the wall, wonder how all that's been.
I'm like, I know you have to wonder what the interactions have been like, what, and you have to hope maybe this leads to some good progress in the family. Yeah. But yeah,
well,
it had to have been awkward.
I saw that there was some like royal event that was happening, but then Harry and Meghan couldn't go because they aren't a part of the firm anymore, like officially, since they dropped their titles. Very interesting. So I don't know, like, I don't know if that's just like protocol or if that was like kind of an excuse to not have them there. I don't know, but I yeah, like you said, I do hope that there's some sort of
healing, moving forward,
healing,
constructive conversations. Something, because I think at this point, everybody feels slighted for one reason or another. Obviously, Harry and Meghan have detailed what happened and how Meghan was mistreated and the absolutely unfair ways things were handled on their behalf. And then now his family definitely seems to feel like Harry and Meghan, you know, put their family on blast on television. So they're slighted. So hopefully they've been able to at least have some good healing conversations, but also like these are white Protestant British people who like bury emotions and keep strong and carry on, you know? So I don't know. I can't say for sure that they are doing that, but you want to hope that maybe, and of course, Jacqueline and I kind of talked about it the last time, like, you know, it's times like these that families do kind of come together, or you realize like we need to put aside our differences. Life is short, or really long if you're the Queen of England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then there's also been, if y'all seen the videos and everything of like Charles getting aggravated with the pens.
Oh, loved it. Loved it. I was like, Charles, hunty, there are cameras everywhere. You are blowing this.
Did you see the video of Charlotte being like, smile? Like he was, she was like bossing Charles.
Oh, George. Around. She's like,
or George. George.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you have to bow after this. And yeah,
she's done that. I love her. I just feel like she is a just a boss ass bitch.
I know. I know. I don't even know what to six. Like,
girls, he's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
And then, of course, I mean, this is so, but like the fashion, I've been dying over Kate and Meghan's looks every day, everything event that's gone on. I'm like, what are they wearing?
They
the
look
chicest
great.
In black. The chicest in black today is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what I wonder, especially like Meghan, because. You know, Kate, I think she has a stylist, doesn't she? Or at least works
I'm
with,
sure.
I think she has stylist.
Oh, I'm sure they all do.
Like that. And, you know, she obviously has like, you know, the secret line to designers in that area if she needs outfits. But I'm like, they had to have a ton of clearly custom tailored outfits for all these events. But then Meghan too, I'm like, they had to not only, she had to get all these outfits together that fit well and look good. She's going to be on camera and for so many events. And they had to fly over from the United States. So I'm just like, that was my thing. I'm like, how did she get all these outfits together? Surely she had to have help. I don't know. That was like what I was thinking.
I know. I've thought about those logistics too. And then like, just with like the simple logistics of obviously she and Harry were there on a trip, but like they were planning on staying, I don't think this long. And so like just how you, Yeah, get more clothes and their children are back home. And like, how are they feeling about that?
Oh, I don't think I thought about that. So they were already there. I thought they flew there, or no, they did. They flew there to see the queen.
They flew there when she was sold.
Okay, they
were in the UK for like some engagements they had to be there with. And then the queen fell ill or was doing poorly. And so they were, and that's when Harry went, Meghan didn't go, you know, there's that whole thing. And then so now they've just been there ever since.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't go over there.
Yeah.
Because of the queen. They went over there because they had other events that they were going.
Okay.
It was like, was that the Invictus Games? No.
I don't know.
No, it was something else.
No, it was something.
Yeah,
was something
that logistic is like they would have to have help. It's not like Meghan could be like, okay, I didn't bring in a black.
Yeah, like the kids are still in America, I believe. They haven't said that they flew them over there, which is just wild for everyone involved.
It is. Oh gosh, I didn't even think about that at all. Yeah, I guess I had missed the part where they were already over there. I thought they had flown over, but even if they had flown over to see the queen when she got ill, that was a long time ago now.
Yes, so I saw some Instagram account and I can't remember which one it is. I'll have to look and like send it to you guys. But there was an Instagram account earlier that had been comparing all, like the dresses that Kate and Meghan were wearing. And they were basically black versions of dresses that they had worn like other times. And like both of them were wearing a dress like at some point this week, you know, where that they had worn to like the Jubilee and like different.
I noticed a lot of Kate's. I'd recognized the style she had that it looked like things she's worn in other colors.
Yeah. So I wonder if like they just like as sick as it sounds, like I literally wonder, and I'm sure like the firm it has that where they have like a certain amount of, you know, black attire to wear in case something like this were to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know they, it's like protocol that they always have to travel with something black in case.
That's right.
Because that's what happened with Elizabeth when she was on vacation holiday when her father died.
That's right.
And wow. So they had to make sure she had something black to wear, and then that became like protocol to always travel with a black garment.
Wow, that's morbid, but good planning.
Yeah. You don't want to get caught in a, like a bright red dress after the queen just died.
How very Bohemian Rhapsody of you.
Ugh. Galileo, Galileo.
Galileo, Galileo.
Geez.
Okay.
Well, should we pop into self-care and favorite things?
Let's do that.
Actually, before we do that real quick, I do have one podcast recommendation that I do want to toss out because I am listening to it right now. And I feel like the similarities between it and the Adnan Syed. Have you guys listened to Suspect?
No, what's that?
New podcast from Wondery, which Wondery is that podcast network that every podcast they do is so good. Even just the Wondery, their intro. Right. It is called Suspect, and it's about a 2008 murder at an apartment complex in Seattle at a Halloween party. Oof. And is anyway, so I'm listening to it right now. I have one episode left. The murder was in 2008. It did not go to trial until 2017. And but the suspect sat in the accused sat in jail that whole time.
Wow.
They charged him in 2009 and did not take it to trial till 2017. So even if he is or was found innocent, I don't want to spoil it, he sat in jail for 8 years.
Wow.
It took them that long between officially charging him and actually taking it to trial. And it's
I want to listen.
Listen to it. But anyway.
All right.
It's really good. So if you're looking for a true crime podcast that truly has a lot of similarities as far as evidence and accusations and not looking at other suspects or maybe not zeroing in or whatever, it's about a young woman who was murdered in her apartment in Seattle in 2008. So not that too long.
Adding it now.
Yes, Suspect on Wondery. Really, really well done. And I was going to recommend it anyway, but then on this Adnan Syed stuff, I was just like, wow, the similarities of, just the way the case is kind of gone. So check it out if you want to. Suspect.
Wondering.
If you're looking, so I'll add on really quick. If you're looking for TV recommendations, Selling Sunset, OC, or I guess Selling OC on Netflix was pretty good. There's only a few episodes. It's pretty good. I highly recommend everyone watching. I can do maybe like a recap next week. And then another movie I watched that a lot of people have been talking about is called Do Revenge on Netflix. I watched it last night. It's really good. It's kind of giving like Every Summer After, but like that kind of like vibe. Like it's like high school drama, but it's with Camila Mendes. It's really good. I highly recommend. It's like an hour and a half. It's not that bad. So it's an easy commitment. And then another thing I haven't watched yet, but I plan on watching is Love is Blind. They have added a couple episodes to this latest season that are called Love is Blind After the Altar. And I'm very excited to watch those. Haven't watched yet, but I'm going to, and I will talk about it next week.
Heyo. Okay. All right. Let's jump into our weekly favorite thing and self-cares. I'll kick us off this week. My favorite thing is a stupid thing. My favorite thing this week is being tan.
Yes. Being tan is great.
It's so great. And I forget how lovely it is. So I went on my family vacation to the beach last week, and we started going on our family vacation in September, maybe 5 to 8 years ago. It kind of worked out best schedules for everybody because our summers got so crazy. And my siblings and I've all become adults, it's just hard to coordinate schedules. So September always seemed to work best for us. And so we go at the end of the summer. Guys, if you have the opportunity to go on vacation at the end of the summer or even just a weekend trip, the tan level you can get if you've been on the lake, beach, pool throughout the summer, and then you get that one final long week where you're in the sun. I came back, even I was shook at how tan I got. And the joy it brought my soul, like being tan.
Oh, I saw you and I was like, ma'am.
Yeah. Jacqueline told me, she was like, you are so dark. She was like,
you're so tan.
Like, I know I love tan feet. Like there's just something about it. Like, I know it's not great for your skin. I go to the dermatologist every year. I wear sunscreen, I'm doing the best I can, but I love being tan. And I just wanted to recommend if you plan a late summer trip, I highly recommend it. And just love the vibes. Like, it's just, it makes me just feel good. I feel fitter. It's weird.
Tan skin looks better than flabby white skin.
It does.
I've always said, if you can't tone it, tan it.
Exactly. And so I feel fitter. I feel cuter. I feel prettier. I feel happier. I don't know. I just love being tan so much. And I haven't been this dark for some reason. I don't know, or else it's just been since last September. So I was like, my favorite thing this week is being tan. And now, of course, I stare at my skin every day and I'm like, stay, darling, don't get white again. Please.
I wish.
And then actually, this is kind of a funny turn. But truly, it is due to hormones, according to my doctor, more than anything. I just bought that Muesli skincare, that like Instagram famous prescription skincare you can get online to help treat my melasma, which can be caused by sun use. But for me, it's not. It does make it worse, but it's hormonal, like especially if you're on birth control or things like that. And it's skin darkening. And mine is, I have some skin darkening and like dark patches on my face that is due to hormones that the sun makes worse. And so that is my self-care, is that I finally purchased that. One of my friends, and you guys know her as well, my friend Casey, she got it and she had pretty bad melasma as well. And it has changed her skin. And so I mentioned a while back, I had gotten hydroquinone, which is a treatment through a skincare place here in Lexington. I've enjoyed it, but I kind of wanted to turn it up a notch. And I guess they can only prescribe up to 4%. Well, this Muesli can prescribe up to 12% hydroquinone. So Casey was like, it has changed my skin. And I just look at her before and afters. It's crazy. And so I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. So it's in the mail. It should be here like tomorrow or the next day. And I'm very excited to try it because I am very self-conscious about my, especially in the summer, because melasma, the skin darkening, even though I wear sunscreen all day, every day, it has still gotten darker by the end of the summer. And yeah, I'm just very self-conscious about it. So I'm kind of trying to be very conscientious about doing it. So I will report back on if it works. It's Muesli, M-U-S-E-L-Y. You've probably seen their ads on Instagram, but according to my friend and all their reviews, it really works. So.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. I've seen their ads, but I guess I just didn't know anyone that tried it. So.
Yeah, I didn't either. So I was always kind of like, eh, but then yeah, she was like, no, it's 12%. Like it's good stuff. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's cool. My thing.
Claire?
Okay. My, favorite thing is my new perfume that I finally got. I had been wanting to buy a new perfume and I finally bought the Glossier perfume called You. And I was nervous to buy it. I've like sampled a lot of different perfumes and just could not find anything that I liked. I don't know why I was being picky. I was just hard. And I kept going back to, sorry, I thought I heard a knock on my door, but I think it was my ice maker. I kept going back to this Glossier perfume because I really liked the description of it. I was like, I feel like this is all the scents I'm looking for, but I couldn't get a sample of it because Glossier, I don't have a store here in Dallas. And so you can only buy online. And so I took the plunge and I got it and it arrived on Saturday, I think. And I love it. It's just like, it smells so good. It's exactly what I wanted. I really enjoy it. And it's just been a long time since I've had a perfume that I've really enjoyed. And I just like having a scent. I read the other day that like the signature scent is out and it's all about like rotating different fragrances for different reasons. And I mean, I'm just like trying to smell good every now and then. So this is going to work for me now. But Glossier You, they say it's supposed to smell different on every person, which I think perfumes generally kind of do. So that's like the gimmick part of this, or that's like their selling point, but really I just like the smell of it. So I'm thankful it was a good purchase and that I like it. And now I can move on my scent journey. My self-care, and I feel like this might have been, I can't remember if this was a self-care before, because I definitely meant to make it one before, or I thought about it. So this is either a repeat for me or brand new, but if it is a repeat, this is like to the extreme is being vulnerable, because I finally like really got super vulnerable at work the other day. It was probably like coming up on 3 weeks ago now. I went into work just like bound and determined to get invited to go to a happy hour. I was like, I need friends so bad. I'm gonna lose it. Like I just, that whole week leading up to it, I was like, I need plans. I'm so tired of not having friends. And like, especially in this office when there's so many people, I don't freaking understand it.
Yeah.
And so I finally went to like the people who like I'm the closest to, who are quite a bit older than me and like married, established, not looking to go to a happy hour and not like out and about, but like is everybody's boss. And I finally was just like, I have no friends and I need friends and I don't know how to make them. I don't know why I don't have friends at this office. Like I'm not disliked and I have people I'm friends with, but like no one I could hang out with. And so they started to help me a little bit and they were like, a couple of them were trying to like introduce me to different people. yada, yada, yada. And so that was working out. And then I eventually, this one girl came up and talked to me, and she did tell me, that I am an undesirable person to spend time with because of my position, my job. And I was like, okay,
that hurt less than I thought it was going to.
I'm going to fight a bitch.
And I mean, Jacqueline and I both just sat up like, excuse me.
I was like, excuse me. I'll fly down right now and fight her.
It did not feel good in the moment. I mean, like I sat there and took it like a champ. I was like, well, okay.
We kind of cut you off. So she said undesirable because of your job, of your actual position.
Basically because I think there's just like a lot of misconceptions. Oh, and I think like the history of my position, the people who've done my job have not been like the coolest, the greatest, the whateverest. They haven't been me, essentially. And who is like fun, friendly, trustworthy, like just like not a snitch, not like standoffish, whatever. And so like in their defense, like that's what they expect from a person in my position. And so I told her, I was like, hey, not my favorite thing I've ever been told, but I'm glad to know it. I was like, this is good information.
Yeah.
I'm absorbing it and I want to change your mind. And so then I like started to kind of explain, like make my case and whatever. And so on my behalf, she and another girl have planned a happy hour on September 30th. So it's been like weeks away and like so many people are coming.
Oh, God.
They're joking that it's like my make-a-wish. Like, it's like my, like Claire really needs this. Like, she's not doing well. And if we don't do this happy hour, she may never get another happy hour. And so I'm just hoping this is a really like a good start to something. And I've just been like I've mentioned before, when I first moved here, I was like really putting myself out there, and I did for a while. And I think it just got, I don't know, it was just kind of like, I got burned out on it, or just, I needed to refocus my energy. Well, I'm back to
that's a lot of energy.
Yeah. So I'm back to like fully committing myself, and it's paid off to some degree. Mm-hmm. And I'm just doing this because I need to do it. This is my life. I have to be uncomfortable to get comfortable again. And so it's self-care that has been at times uncomfortable, but it's that. So anyway, I'll keep you updated after the September 30th
happy. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm excited for you.
You guys, if I don't make friends after that, I'm going to be devastated.
Oh, I know. Yes. No, I know. Okay. Now. I'm so proud of you for still putting yourself out there. It's been hard, and I'm proud. I wanted to punch that girl immediately and call her bitch and step over her body, but that's my MO, you know. Now that after the context, I'm glad that she shared that with you. That was tough, and maybe you needed to hear that, but again, that's not your fault. It wasn't personal. Like, that makes sense. People in your position, if they've not been cool, then they're going to assume like, ugh.
Right. Well, and so it's funny.
That context.
Yeah. And the next day I was walking, her office is on a different floor from mine, and I was having to walk by it. And I was like, you know, if she's in there, I'm going to walk in there and just go boo, or just like say hi to her or something. And I walked in there, and there were all these other girls in the office who I've seen. And I'm like, I would like to be their friend. And she goes, oh, come in here. We were just talking about you. And they were like, oh my God, we can't believe she told that to you. Like, what? Like, they were like dragging her. They're like, that's, you cannot say that to a person. And a couple of them were like, we don't think that. So it was starting to feel like progress is being made. So
good.
Nothing's truly come of it, but you know, I'll take what I can get.
Hey, a planned happy hours come of it. And a lot of people are attending.
I know, I think they all think I'm on the edge. So like, they don't want a lawsuit on their hands.
There's Make-A-Wish going right now.
I know. So
well, I think that is good, and I'm excited for you.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
I can't wait to podcast after to hear about how your Make-A-Wish went. What?
I may never show up again. I'm gonna have such a busy social life, you know.
That's right.
We'll have time.
Dang, you'll cancel on us all the time then.
That's right.
Yeah.
So my favorite thing this week, and you know, I had typed this, yesterday, and I guess today it's not really relevant because it was hot today, but, my favorite thing lately has been biker shorts. and an oversized sweatshirt. I'm just going full Princess Diana on
everything. I was going to say. Oh, yeah.
It is, I love it so much. I'm always cold. Like, I love wearing a sweatshirt, but I'm also hot, weirdly, at the same time. I don't know. Like, it's just a weird, but that temperature mix is the perfect, perfect area to be covered and to not be covered. Yeah, I don't know. I love the look. I will never buy a sweatshirt that fits me perfectly, literally ever again.
Big sweatshirts only, biker shorts only. Princess Diana walked so we could run.
That's what she sure did.
And I think she
I love it. I've run here before. Like, I've become obsessed with biker shorts, especially now as the weather's starting to change. Oh yeah, Jacqueline, I feel you 100%. The sweatshirts, it's just the perfect. It's the perfect temperature regulation, and it looks cute.
Totally. Yeah. And it's just so comfortable.
I can't wait to get to
your biker shorts.
Yeah, tell us.
So I have.
Or do you have some favorites?
So I have two pairs I've previously gotten from Amazon, and I like those. They're comfortable, but they don't have the, they're not like that, like spandex. Like, I don't know I don't know how to explain them, but they're not like that. Like, they don't hold you in, you know what I mean? Okay. I don't know how to explain that kind of material, but like there's no tucking in the stomach or anything. It just like sits, but those are nice. Okay. If I'm just like lounging or, you know, whatever, but, those are comfortable. I don't know. I love Fabletics, and, over the past like few years, I've gotten biker shorts from there, and I think those are like the best ones. I prefer of them the Power Hold line. I think those are my favorite leggings.
And yeah, those are good. I've had those from Fabletics before, the Power Hold.
Yeah, it's like a good material. It's not like a material if you're wearing the shorts or even the full legging, where if it's really hot out and you're sweating a lot, like, you'll feel like, oh my God, I have to get these off of me. It's breathable, but then it like really sucks you in.
Yeah. Which I love that feeling. Same. It's a good mix. Yeah. Some stuff, I love it. And some stuff doesn't do anything. So you're kind of like, meh.
I need the support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely need like the support too. And even if I don't need it, I just like to know mentally that it's there. So,
heck yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. And what's your self-care? What do you take care of little Jacqueline?
My self-care, I don't know. I really, honestly, like, haven't really been, I don't know. I wasn't really sure what to put here this week, but, I, for a little bit there, I was kind of not reading as much, but I've been reading a lot lately, and I finished two books over the weekend.
Okay. Well, you are an average. I bet you're a quick reader though. Like, actual, like, speed read. Like, you pretty much blow through it, which is good.
Yeah. If I want to, I can sit down and finish a book in like a couple hours.
Ugh, I wish I could. Like, I cannot.
Depending on how much it was. Like, if it was like a good book, like, it's like a quick page turner, I can totally like go through it.
But part of the reason is, I just don't have the time. But also, secondly, like, I get attached to characters and I don't want it to be over. So I'll purposely only read like,
oh, I'm the one where it's like, I have to know how it ends. And I'm like, click, click, click.
Yeah.
I cannot put it down. But yeah, so I am reading this book right now. It's called The Agathas. It's really good. It
Let us know what you think when you finish it in 15 minutes.
Okay, I will. I was going to say, I want 70%. So I'll probably finish it tonight.
Heck yeah. Okay, cool.
And that is Tuesday, so like by the time this posts, I'll be done with this book. But so far, it is so good. It's another one of the teenagers solving crime, which is probably one of my favorite genres.
Really? Okay. All right. Okay, that sounds good.
I'll keep you posted.
Very good. Well, all right. Okay, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the A Block Pod, or email us at theablockpod@gmail.com.
Like, rate, review, subscribe, holla at your girls.
Tell your friends.
from you.
Tell us how you decided on your baby's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
We'd love to know.
We'd love to know. And let us know if you've been having an affair with Adam Levine. We'd love to know that as well. All right. love you, girls. Love all you listeners. Have a great day. Take care of yourself.
TTYL.
TTYL.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.